Turn to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, 15. You know, the first time I ever testified, I hadn't been saved a few months. And my pastor was preaching revival over at a little church in Fort Mill. And I went over there because I liked to hear him preach. And I had gotten to the point where I just loved church. I just loved church. And I've never had a problem with church since I got saved. You get saved, you don't have a problem with church. And but I went over there to hear my pastor preach, and I went in that little old church. There must have been about 10 people there. And he looked over at me. He said, "Has anybody got a word of testimony?" And it never occurred to me it was me. You know, "Has anybody got a word of testimony?" He kept looking at me. And then he said, "Well, one of my church members here tonight, Brother Ron Roddy. Ron, stand up and give us a word of testimony." I hadn't been saved in a few months. I stood up and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. It sounded like something bellowing. I was crying so hard. And then finally I eked out a few words. I said, "Well, thank God he saved me." The place come unglued. It just come unglued. I didn't know what to say, but I knew how to cry. Amen. And that's what we need sometimes. Just some innocent testifying. Amen. Revelation chapter 11. We've been studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights. If you hadn't been coming, you've been missing a blessing this past Wednesday night. Boy, I really enjoyed it. And Revelation chapter 11. Now, I'm going to teach you something tonight. I'm going to do some teaching, preaching. I don't know how exciting it will be. But I've been thinking about something. I heard somebody say something the other day that led me to this. They said, "Well, the sign of the end of the world is weird weather." I said, "That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Your grandma might said that, but she was wrong." "That ain't in the Bible." I said, "That's why God gave you that rainbow. He said that wasn't going to happen again." Amen? And he promised there'll be seasons, you know. I said, "But that end of the world thing, let me think about that." So I got to think about it, and a lot of folks don't understand what that means, the end of the world, okay? And so I got thinking on it this week, and it took me to the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, as far as the world's concerned, that's the end of the world when that happens. As far as we're concerned, it's not. But as far as to the lost mankind, that's the end of the world to them. That's the end of their world. It's the end of the world as we know it today. But it's not the end of the world. It is a thousand years of Jesus Christ ruling on planet Earth in person, from his throne. And so I got thinking about that. And it's a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God gave Abraham. Y'all been going with me in Genesis. We studied all the way through the book of Genesis. And it's a fulfillment of that promise that God gave to Abraham. And then it's the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to David. It's a fulfillment of that promise. And it's a fulfillment of the promises that Jesus Christ gave to the church, that there will be 1,000 years of peace on earth when he will rule his very self on planet Earth. So I got to think about that. In Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to get going fast. You might just have to write these down because I've already got them marked. I got a lot of scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says this. In verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It's called the kingdom of heaven. When we were born again, we were born into the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of heaven is going to come down to earth. And for 1,000 years, the kingdom of heaven will be on planet earth, back and forth. It's also called in Luke 19:11. Turn over there just a few pages. In Luke 19:11, he said, And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought when Jesus came and he stood up and preached that he was about to set up his kingdom on planet earth. And they were disappointed that he did not. And by the way, that's really the reason they crucified him, as far as the Jews are concerned, those in authority, because they thought that he was going to take over and build up his kingdom and take away their power and their authority. So it's called the kingdom of God in Luke 19:11. Here's a particular one I thought maybe you might not, never have seen, Matthew 19:28. I want you to go there and mark this one, because most people don't even know this one. Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's telling the apostles, he said, in the regeneration. Now, he means the regeneration of mankind. During the 1,000-year reign, it's going to be a rule and reign by Jesus Christ, and it will change the world. It's a regeneration. And he said, now, you apostles, stick in there, because one day you're going to rule and reign with me as representatives of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? Y'all still with me? I'm talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And then in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, there's another prophecy that they gave, and it's not very well known either. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says this. He says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, some people think that might be now. Some of them mistakenly thought that was the day of Pentecost. But when the times of refreshing comes, that's when he refreshes the people on earth. That's when everybody receives it. Everybody that is alive then will receive the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself ruling there. Now, there's one more I want to show you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2, I'm talking about the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years that he will rule planet earth. It's 1,000 years. Now, and I'm going to remind you, as far as lost people are concerned, that's the end of the world. That's the end of the world. And because we're coming back with him, this is 7 years after the rapture of the church, he comes back. We've been up in heaven with him. We've been resurrected. We're up there. We've received our new bodies. And now we're coming back with him. And he comes riding a white horse. And we come back with him down to planet earth. And he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, as far as I'm concerned, not everybody understands this stuff. And they get kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, 1,000-year reign, and they throw it all in one pot and make it all one thing. Look at verse 5. In chapter 2, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Now, when he's talking about the world to come, he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the world to come. The millennial reign, that millennial means 1,000. The 1,000 years of ruling by Jesus Christ on planet earth is the world to come. Now, the Bible says he's going to make everything right, and he's going to straighten out the crooked paths, and he's going to level out things. And what that means, he's going to bring by holy judgment, he's going to fix stuff, and he's going to set up his order and his reign on planet earth. Y'all got that, right? Now, most folks, here's what they think. Here's what most people think. One day God's going to get mad, and he's going to look down here, and he's going to say, boom, and just burn it all up. That's not the truth. God's going to give, if the trumpet sounded today, and the dead in Christ rose first, and then we which were alive and remain caught up together with them in the air, we're going to go to the marriage supper. We'll go to the judgment seat of Christ first, and we'll have the sins in our body judged for reward of lost reward, and then after that, we're going to have a supper. And we're all going to be invited to the marriage supper. Now, the marriage supper is what? That's what you have right before the wedding, right? And then we're going to be in a big wedding, and we're going to be the bride. And I'm always picking on Rick and telling him he's going to make a good-looking bride. So, Brother Jeffrey, you're going to make a pretty bride. And we're going to be the bride. We're going to be the bride of Christ. And then when we're wedded, we're joined with Him and become one. And then God's going to let us come back with it. The bride and the bridegroom will come back to planet Earth. And the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet and all of those will be judged. And then we're going to live here for 1,000 years. And there'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more pain. And listen, that's going to go on for 1,000 years. The cemetery business is going to go out of business. The mortuaries will go out of business. The hospitals will go out of business. Because you can't get sick and die if God Himself is dwelling among you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. With Him ruling, there's not going to be any more of that. Of course, there's a lot of scripture on that I'm not going to get into. But the point being, the end of the world is not what they think it is. There's a popular pop song a few years ago. And the only part, I'd be walking through the store. You ever walk through the store and they play crazy music? And sometimes it just gets your attention. Unless it's rap, I just want to shoot myself in the head if it's rap. Don't you? I can't stand that stuff. And no wonder they shoot each other. Amen. I'd shoot you too if you played that all the time at my house. But I was going through there, and there used to be this song that played over and over and over. And somewhere in that song, it was some kind of pop song. It went pretty fast. And it said, the end of the world as we know it. The end of the world as we know it. And I see some of them already here singing the words. But the world as it is knows that this world cannot go on the way it is. Even lost people know that. Before I was saved, before I was ever born again, before I knew, and by the way, I didn't know not one Bible verse before I got saved. Nobody ever told me Bible until I got witness to it 21 years old. Well, I heard preaching first time at 21 years old. But before that, I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't know the shortest verse in the Bible, much less the longest verse in the Bible. I did not know one verse, but I knew this. If there was a God in heaven, the world couldn't keep going the way it's going. Amen. And in the baby boomer generation, we always thought we was going to blow each other up with nuclear bombs. Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember this, and the ones that aren't, you're going to think this is funny. I'll never forget. In the third and fourth grade, we used to have bomb drills. We didn't get out in the hall. They made us get up under our desk and put our head between our legs. And cover your head like that. And then after I got about in the seventh grade, of course, they quit doing it by then because they realized you're not dumb as a third or fourth grader by the time you're in the seventh or eighth grade. And you'll figure out if there's a nuclear bomb, that desk is going to melt, that building's going to melt, and you're going to melt too. So you might as well run across the street and get you a cheeseburger while it's going on and die happy. Amen? But everybody thought the world's going to get blown up. And by the way, I still believe there's probably going to be some nuclear bombs going off one day, maybe sooner than we think, but that will not be the end of the world. No, it won't. No. Now, there may be a nuclear war, but that will not be the end of the world. God's not going to let it. God made it, and God will rearrange it for 1,000 years, and at the end of the 1,000 years, and then for a season after the devil he lets loose, and listen, he's going to melt it with a fervent heat, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. China can't do that. North Korea can't do that. And by the way, we have the biggest nuclear arsenal in the world. We've got more than most nations put together. And we can't do that. I told you, the most powerful thing in the universe is not a nuclear bomb. Man cannot make any the most powerful thing. Man makes a nuclear bomb and he says, look what we got. We got the most powerful thing in the universe. And God says, look, I've got the resurrection. That's the most powerful thing in the universe. Man can destroy, but God can make alive, see. Now, that's a lot more powerful. Man has never found a way. Y'all remember Frankenstein? He'd get all them bodies, and he'd sew a hand off of this one and a head off of that one, and I never figured out what the bolts in the side was. But then he strapped him to that big old bed, you know, and he had them boots on him, you know, like these goth kids were, you know, that was about that tall. And he laid him up on that bed, and he put wires on him, you know, run him up there in that tower, and the lightning came in, hit that thing, and went down through there and shocked him. And he goes, and he wakes up. But you know what? It don't work. It don't work. Now, you can kill somebody, but you can't make anybody alive. And man doesn't have that ability. But see, somehow in our generation, the past three generations, we've got this idea that we can destroy what God made. You can't do it. I don't believe in global warming. I believe God has set our planet, and He set it up in such a way that it filters itself. Amen. And I know it does. How many of y'all, when you were young, remember coal heat and wood heat? And we had all kerosene heat. How many of you remember getting up in the mornings and looking out across the mill hill and there'd be a big black cloud just hanging over the top of the whole mill hill? Y'all remember that? From all that coal and that wood heat. And then down there at the mill, they were putting out enough smoke to choke anything, and that cloud was hanging over the world. And you remember when we was growing up, we saw pictures of Los Angeles. The smog would get so thick, they couldn't see the drive. Y'all remember that? Where's all that at? Did the Democrats filter it? No, sir. God filtered that. Our atmospheres, did you know they talk about the ozone layer? You know what that's for? To filter the oxygen. Did you know that the ocean, it filters our oxygen and produces more oxygen? The ocean does that. And there's more water than there is land. And did you know all those trees out there, when we breathe stuff out and they breathe it in and make it into good air? Did you know that? See, you can't destroy what God made. And yet, man's got this idea that mankind's going to destroy the earth and it's going to be the end of the world, and man did that. No, man can't do that. He doesn't have the power to do that. See, God's put His regenerating power on this planet earth. And by the way, the Hubble telescope has seen farther than any other telescope in the history of mankind. And guess what they found out there? Nothing. There are no other earths. There are no other people. If you saw little green men, you need to get your prescription changed. Amen? Or either you're in DTs, you might need to take a drink. But I'm telling you this, there is no other life. There's no other earth. God has made this jewel just for Himself. Amen? And He did it so He could get glory. So that one day, Danny and Ron and others would stand up and say, I just want to thank God. He's good. He's loving. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And God made this earth so He could get that out of us. Amen? He said, let everything that has breath do what? Praise Him. He said, if you don't praise Him, who will? Even the rocks will cry out. Amen? Hey, God's got this thing put together. It's not going to fall apart, and you're not going to tear it up. But one day, God's got His timetable, and He set it up. And any day now, we're 2,017 years closer to it than the original apostles. Amen? Paul thought he was coming in his time. John thought he was coming back. All the disciples thought he was coming back in their lifetime, and he didn't do it. And then the next generation, then the next generation, then the next generation. Here we are, year 2017. The earth's still spinning on its axis. The sun goes down and comes up. It snows and melts. Everything stays right in the process He made it, and He's got a time. And the Bible says when the fullness of time came, He sent His Son. Amen. And His Son lived a sinless life, died in our place, rose from the dead right on time. And now the Bible says He's sitting in heaven and He's interceding for us. And one day He's going to look over at the Father. He said, Father, I think it's time. And the Father's going to say, go get my children. And the trumpet's going to sound, you know it. And the dead in Christ, though not Baptists, but the real dead. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But that don't mean we're dead, that means we're alive. All that timetable set up. Now, after that trumpet sounds, there's 7 years. We've been studying it. We've already studied it in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 4, there's a trumpet sound. And he said, come up. And after that, you don't see the church anymore in the book of Revelation until the other night we got to Revelation 19. And there's the church again. Because he's getting us ready to come back with him. Amen. All that's on a timetable. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, if the Lord tarries. No. He's not going to tarry. He's got the time set up. It's always right on time. He don't have a Cawthon Street clock. And he don't have a Poverty Hill clock, that's for sure. And he don't have a Post Oak Lane clock. She didn't even get it. He has an eternal clock in heaven, and it is set up, and when the fullness of time came, his son was born, and when the time comes, the trumpet will sound, and when the time comes, we will come back with him and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And you notice he's got that set, 1,000 years. It's a time. Now, some people don't believe that. They say that's allegorical. They say that's like it resembles something that is not. It's something else. Well, my Bible says it's of no private interpretation. So what it says, it says. And it doesn't say something to you, it doesn't say something to the rest of us. Amen? Amen. So, now, here it is. So we believe there's a millennial reign. There's 1,000 years he's going to reign. It's called the kingdom of heaven. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called the time of regeneration. It's called the times of refreshing. It's called the world to come. Now, I want you to notice something about that time. Revelation 19, not Matthew. Revelation 19, verse 16. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. If anybody ever wanted to buy my sermons, I don't know how I would sell them. I put them on napkins. Anything I get my hands on, I just start writing. But I want you to look at Revelation 19, 16. Revelation 19, 16. Now I want you to notice something about this 1,000 years that we're going to be with him, okay? And he hath on his vesture, that's his clothes. And on his thigh, that's this banner that's around. It's like, what do you call those things that you put? A sash-like thing. And it has on that, look at it. And it's written, a name written. And I want you to notice in capital letters. That means that he's shouting this. If you know anything about typing or writing, if you do it all in caps, not nice. That's not proper. Because it means you're trying to say it real loud. You're shouting it. But I want you to notice, he's shouting it in this passage of Scripture. And the name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Now, in that 1,000 years, the government is going to be headed by Jesus Christ himself. How you know that, preacher? Because he's King of Kings. And he's Lord of Lords. He is over all of them. Amen? Now the Bible says, and we're not going to get into everything tonight, but the Bible says we'll rule and reign with him. He's going to make us kings and princes and priests, and we're going to rule and reign with him. What I want you to do is get a baseball bat and go back to Michigan. There's a bunch of Yankees up there need some help. Amen? You need to beat the devil out of them. Amen? They've ruined Michigan. Somebody needs to go up there and straighten that place out. Amen? And I hope he gives me Lancaster, South Carolina, South Side, where I grew up. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to do me some straightening out. Amen? But we're going to rule, and we're going to reign with him. But listen, it's not going to be a government in charge, and it's not going to be a president in charge. It's going to be a king. A king is somebody who demands total loyalty. You can't question a king. You can't do it. You can't talk against a king. You can't do it. And he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Well, why is he going to do that, preacher? Well, there's going to be people left over from the tribulation period that didn't die. But I challenge you to find anywhere in the Bible where any of those people die for 1,000 years. Since he's here, they can't die. And they won't get sick. And they'll keep having babies. We won't be having no more babies. We're in glorified bodies. Thank God. Hallelujah. No more young. Glory to God. Woo! No more youngers. Woo! That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout right there. And we're going to rule and reign with him, and he's going to demand total loyalty. That's why he's got a wrought iron. Right now, we see him as the risen Savior who was the suffering servant. He's meek and lowly. He loves sinners. He calls sinners. He rescues sinners. But during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he's not meek and lowly. And he's not doing any rescuing. He's ruling. You ever looked at anybody and said, I wish God would get hold of that boy. If he lives long enough, God will.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bust up every liquor store. He'll tear up every drug house. Hey, he'll knock down the cat house. Y'all know what a cat house is. I hope I don't have to get too particular on that. Listen, he's going to get rid of every gambling joint. There won't never be another World Series, I can tell you that right now. There will be NASCAR, though. Only on Friday nights, the Friday night race. Amen. Amen. Only on Friday night. But let me tell you something. He's going to rule and he's going to reign and he's going to be called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're not going to hear any more of this doubtful speech and this doubtful talk about, well, I believe there was a Jesus, but I just ain't going to go so far to say he was God, and I'm not going to go so far to say he was Lord. He was a nice guy and a phooey. That ain't happening no more. They're going to bow and worship him just like we will. They're going to have to do it. And listen, he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. There's not going to be... And you know what? We talk like that, and you know what they call us? Legalist. They said, Brother Ron, you're a legalist. You think ain't nobody supposed to drink liquor because you don't. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You think because you don't do dope and you don't smoke a little pot and your church don't believe in that, there ain't none of that. Amen. But I got news for you. There's somebody bigger than me that believes the same thing. And one day he's coming, and when he comes, he's not just going to preach against it, he's going to rule against it. Amen?
Amen.
Me and my wife was going up through the neighborhood this morning. No, it was yesterday. We came down here last night, checked on everything, prayed, and went through the neighborhood, and I'm knocking on this apartment up here, and I'm not going to say which one. If you ride up through there too much, you'll know which one. And there's some young men in there, I think they're dealing drugs, and there's a young lady moved in next to him, little old skinny thing, about to die, about to wither away. I think she's working for him. And they're drug dealers. And, she's a grown woman. That's the decision she's made. I hate it. But what's sad is there's a little boy out there in the yard. He's about that big playing. And it was already after dark, and it was cold, and he was out there in short sleeves playing, shooting the basketball, and all lights was out in those apartments, and the doors was open. And I thought to myself, he ain't out here because he wants to be. He's out here because he don't want to see and hear what's going on in there. But I got news for you. There's one coming one day that's going to straighten that mess out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's one coming one day. He's going to straighten that mess out. People don't know what they're doing to kids. Listen, he is going to be the government. He's going to be the head. We're not going to have to argue over that anymore. Amen. And then Isaiah chapter 11. I'm about through. Isaiah chapter 11. The devil's glad I am too. Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse, Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse 2, 3, 4, and 5 there. Isaiah chapter 11. Now, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You see that? Now, do you know what he's saying? This is the character of the one that's going to rule planet Earth for 1,000 years. It's going to be a spiritual reign. It's going to bring in righteousness. It's going to bring in equity. It's going to bring in peace. Look at it again. He's going to judge. He's going to reprove. Verse 4, with righteousness he'll judge the poor and reprove the equity of the meek of the earth. You ever heard anybody say honestly, and a lot of people say it dishonestly, but you ever heard anybody say, it just ain't fair. It just ain't fair. That's true sometimes. Deborah, here, I'll tell some of y'all. She had a boy that got run with the wrong crowd, and he got on drugs, and some boys tricked him one time and ended up killing him. It devastated her family. It devastated. I don't think anything ever came of those boys. My wife had a cousin. Same thing happened to him. Those boys never went to jail. They found him in his car in the lake. They never went to jail. It's not fair. It's not right. But I've got news for you. There's coming one day who is fair and right. Amen. And everybody will give account for the deeds done in their body. And he's going to rule with righteousness and honor and glory. And he's going to bring peace and equity and justice and prosperity. And we'll behold the glory of God here on planet Earth. Amen. You see, sin can't get into heaven. Sin can't get in the presence of God. Sin or sinners would be destroyed by the presence of a holy God. So when he comes down to earth and he sits on his throne in Jerusalem in that new temple, sin cannot dwell on planet earth anymore as long as he sits on his throne. Amen? And then it's going to be done right. And there won't be any interrogations or investigations or boards or all that stuff. Whenever some politician tries to do something right, the crooked ones get together and try to stop him. There ain't going to be none of that. There ain't going to be none of that. It'll be done righteously and in holiness. Thank God. Jesus is going to be the head. His character is going to be purity and holiness. And then I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Look at verse 3. I'm not talking about a spiritual kingdom. I'm talking about a physical kingdom. I belong to the spiritual kingdom already. Amen? But I'm talking about a physical kingdom, a physical rule. Isaiah chapter 2. Look at verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the capital of this new government for 1,000 years will be Jerusalem. Now listen to this. Israel has no oil. They don't have oil well. They don't have the biggest army in the world. They don't have the biggest budget in the world. But they are more hated than any other nation on planet Earth. You know why? That Jew right now, he's over there at that Wailing Wall, all that's left of that old temple. And he's got scripture in a little leather box that he's put in on right there. They have a little leather box. And they strap them on their head. You ever seen them? And you'll see them. And they've got them on their hands. They've got scriptures in a little leather box on it. And they got them strapped on their hands. Y'all ever seen them? And they're over there. And they put a little prayer request in the crack of that wall. And then they hold on to those scriptures. And they recognize that scripture. And they start praying for the coming king. And they start praying for the one to come and rule the world and rebuild the temple. And you know that whole nation right now is waiting for the temple to be rebuilt so that the king can come through. Have you ever noticed the eastern gate on the wall is still there? But it's bricked up. And there's a Muslim cemetery in front of it. and you ain't supposed to be around it much. But I got news for you. When he comes, those bricks are going to fall out of that gate. Amen. And those graves are going to get out of the way. And he's going to set up his kingdom right there in Jerusalem, right there in that temple. And that's why the world hates Jerusalem. God gave Abraham a promise. He said, I'll love those that love you, and I'll hate those that hate you. And he said, I'll bless those that bless you, and I won't bless those that don't. He has destroyed many a nation over that little country. You say, well, they ain't right. They don't believe in the Savior. You're absolutely right. But when he comes in on that horse that day, a nation is going to be born again. Those people, they're praying for him to come. They just don't know that they're praying for the one that's already come. But the Bible says when they see him, they'll know him. And they'll recognize him. They'll say, this is the one that we beat. This is the one that we crucified. And that whole nation will accept him as their Savior that day. And they're over on that wall right now. Right now, they're over on that wall praying and bumping that little box up against that wall. And they're praying for the king to come and set up his kingdom on planet Earth right now. Our new president wanted to move to, and the head of Israel, I can't never remember his name, but they wanted to move the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. Y'all may not know it, but the capital of Israel is not Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a Palestinian city. It's mostly Muslim. They have a Muslim mayor. They like us Christians because we spend money there. That's the only reason. And they hate the Jews. And if I'm not mistaken, if my geography is right, Tel Aviv is the capital. Am I right? Tel Aviv is the capital. That was never meant to be. That was assigned by the British to keep peace with the Palestinians. But any day now, and boy, I liked it when our new president, who I doubt if he knows three Bible verses, but he did say, we need to move the capital to Jerusalem. And it upset some people, buddy. And it upset some people in America. But I've got news for them. There's going to be a new government, and the capital will be in Jerusalem. And he's going to be the head of it. Last thing, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I told you I was going to give you a Bible lesson tonight. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 1. Now I said, there's a millennium, 1,000 years of earthly reign. Jesus is coming to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's called the kingdom of heaven. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called the regeneration. It's called the refreshing. It's called the world to come. The government is headed by Jesus Christ himself. His character is purity, peace, equity, justice, prosperity, and glory. And his capital is Jerusalem. And I want you to see something else is going to happen that gives us the victory. Look at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, how many years? 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till, what? 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ, how many years? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until, how many years? 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We finally win. Old smutty face. That old devil. We finally win. And he's going to be chained up for 1,000 years. Well, wouldn't it be something if the devil and his imps never come around your house for 1,000 years? Now, most of us, we're not important enough for the devil to come, but he sends his little demons after us. Amen? Amen. This fellow told me one day, he said, the devil's been over at my house all day. And this fellow standing beside me, he said, that ain't nothing. His mother-in-law's been over at my house. Amen. But hey, one day that devil is going to be defeated once and for all. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate the devil. I hate the devil. He ain't never done nothing good for me. And if you think he's ever done anything good for you, you are deceived, buddy. And I hate him enough. Now, let me tell you something. Since I've been saved, I've never told anybody where to go other than heaven. Before I got saved, I told a lot of people where to go other than heaven. Amen? But since I've been saved, I would not tell anybody to go to hell. I would not. Never forget, I got mad one day at work, and these boys was cussing, making fun of me, and I wanted to say something, and finally I said, "Oh, just go to heaven." And they looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "Just go to heaven." They didn't know that meant go ahead and die. But I said, "Well, just go to heaven." Amen. But look, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. We're finally going to see him get what's coming to him. And he's the only one that will wish be cast into the bottomless pit. I've had people hurt me, Brother Rick. Since I've been saved, I've had people hurt me. If you think just because a man's a preacher, he don't get hurt, I got news for you. I became a target the day I surrendered. I'm a target. And I've been called everything but a child of God. Amen? And I'm telling you, I've been hurt, I've been lied on, I've been deceived and everything else. But I got news for you. Since I've been saved, I've never wanted anybody to go to hell. Even those that hate me, even those that call me their enemy, and I don't have no enemies. They may, but I don't have no enemies. But I've never wanted anybody to go to hell since I've been saved. I might want them to fall down and break a leg, but I've never wanted them to go to hell. Amen? Amen. And but there's one creature in this universe, I want him to go to hell. I want him to get out of here. I want him to burn forever. I want him to be tortured and tormented. I am going to be so happy when God tells those angels, cast that booger into the bottomless pit. Amen. Chain him up. Chain him up. Throw him down there. If you think there's not a devil, you just get saved. You'll find out. We made fun of him before we were saved. We laughed at him. That's because we were blind and we were ignorant. And boy, then when God opened our eyes and we saw what was really going on, we realized that old devil, it was just the grace of God. He hadn't already killed us. Amen. If he had his way today, he'd kill us. And he stirs people up against us and stirs people up against the church. But thank God one day Jesus is coming in all his glory and he's going to say, chain that booger up and cast him in there, and you ain't coming out for 1,000 years. Leave my people alone. Won't be no more laying in bed at night crying over something the devil's done to you. Won't be no more losing friends over things the devil's done. Won't be no more sickness because the devil throwed it on you. Won't be no more heartache and disappointment. There'll be no more failure that the devil led you into. Thank God. We'll be jumping pews right now. Some of y'all ought to be jumping in pews. You ought to be shouting, praising God where he brought us from. Some of y'all are so far down, nobody else is looking for you to come up. And he brought you up anyway. You ought to be shouting and hollering, running up and down the aisle. And if you ain't doing it now, wait till you see him get chained up. I guarantee you'll do it then when they cast him down. Amen? He's coming. Hope he comes tomorrow. Tonight! Don't want to wait till tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get that 7 years over. Let's get the judgment seat of Christ over. Let's get the marriage supper over. Let's get the marriage over. Let's get back down here and fix this mess for 1,000 years. I'm not pessimistic. That's about as optimistic as you can get. Amen? And a fellow told me one day, I was talking to him like that. He said, "Man, you're pretty pessimistic." I said, "No, sir, that's good news. That ain't bad news. I'm looking forward to it. Come quickly, Lord." Are you ready? You want him to come? Amen. He says he's coming for those who are looking for him. And you must want him to come if you're looking for him. And he said, look, he'll come as a thief in the night, and he's going to catch some people unawares because they're not looking. They're not looking for peace. They're not looking for justice and equity and mercy and grace and honor and glory and praising God and holiness and all that. They're too busy involved in this world. They're so busy, messed up in this mess down here. The old devil's got them deceived. And when Jesus comes, he's going to open some eyes. Amen? Thank God. Come quickly. If you're not saved tonight, tonight be the easiest night you ever had to get saved. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, if you are saved and you got sin in your life, he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, I'd fall down on my face before I got to bed tonight. Somewhere I'd fall down on my face and say, "Lord, this is bothering me. It's not right. It's on me and it's my fault. I knew what I was doing when I did it. I did it anyway. God, forgive me. Cleanse me, because the trumpet may sound before you get up in the morning."
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand.